This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Hey, news just to hand, because Rachel, producer Rachel, who is in the studio with us, welcome, Rachel.
Lovely. Use your
mouth.
Here.
Yeah. often is sitting there just Googling away, just looking like the young people do at the internebs.
Same here. On
as
my side
you do.
Of the desk.
Yeah. That's right. And Rachel said, well, now this is interesting news, because it's a slow news day. What, there's three main players in the bring the food to my house so that I can eat at market.
Mm. Besides the pizza people.
That's right.
She's already laughing at us. Because we're old.
So there's people that you can call. If you're not aware of this, there's people you can call on the telephone and say, hey, can you go to a restaurant and bring me my food?
It's not quite how it works.
I don't think you could use the telephone. I think there's an app involved.
Yep. There's an application for it.
Or a website.
Great. So I know this. I'm sure I know this. I'm familiar with the idea of calling your local Indian store and getting them to bring you food because they get their cousin to do it. But I don't like the third-party idea. Anyway, Rachel's news is that there's three main players, we won't use their names, in the market in Melbourne at the moment, and one of them has just announced, Rachel, that they're
closing up shop. They are...
When you say shop?
Shops. Who knows?
It's the lazy-ass
They've been
Dora.
Pushed out of the market by the other two players. But the reason this is such fascinating news is not because they're closing, mm-hmm. but because of your confession off-air.
I did confess off-air. And if any friend of mine is listening and can uncorroborate this, what do you call
dispute I'm corroborating this. It because I know.
I have never had food delivered to my house.
Except by friends, but not by a company.
No, not by a company. And certainly not even by
not
the
even
store.
Pizza.
Not even by the store that sells it. I don't like the idea. I just reckon once I turn that corner, none eyes.
Well, you're not really being truthful because, you know, those of us here know that you're in prison and today is your day release. So it's hard to get the food delivered.
I have paid a taxi to go and buy me booze before.
What? You'd like it if prescription medications and they deliver your Panadol.
When I lived in East Melbourne, I used to order a taxi. He would come there. Because, you know, if you're not able to drive... because you've had alcohol already, that alcohol's,
you know, you can
or prescription medication, I pay them to go and pick up.
There are now alcohol delivery services
well, now,
for the over 18
I invented
crowd.
That shit from my flat in East Melbourne. Rachel,
heard it here first, Joy.
You live in a share house situation, Rachel. Do you get the foods delivered to your home?
I certainly do. It is the best thing about the internet.
Right. Dano?
Yes.
You live in the country. They're not delivering out there.
I have delivery guilt. I feel bad if I call someone and they deliver it to my house because it's not easy to find at night and I feel lazy. I do have a spare pair of crutches at the door that I can answer the door with the crutches. Just as an excuse. Yeah. See, this is why I couldn't come to collect the said food.
Oh, dear. But would you mind coming in and spoon feeding me and with my arms in a sling?
Could you help me back to the couch,
That's right.
please? But I always feel really guilty about it. I don't know why.
What's next, though? Do you know? Now, Nicole, podcaster Nicole's also in the studio. Welcome.
Hello.
Do you get food delivered to your home?
Never in my
life. No, you live with an adult human who is a parent.
Yeah, true. But even if I'm out with mates, like...
She gets it delivered.
I get them to do it. They all do it.
So you're so lazy you don't even do it yourself.
She outsources the outsourcing to someone else.
I've outsourced the outsourcing.
Just like this situation, I outsource the running of the show to you. And
That's
I just
right.
sit here and
seems to work fine.
Paddle on.
That's right. Mm. I think that with the... Because in the olden days, when you'd be at a friend's house and they would order in pizza and everybody would chuck $5 on the thing. So if you're ordering... If it's your house, there's always a bit of a win, right?
Mm. Of course.
But if you're ordering now, same with sharing car rides, you can't... It's sort of weird to throw somebody $5 for. Like, you used to all pool money.
Mm-hmm.
They're, like, looking at me like, cash? What are you talking about?
Because
it's all on an app and it goes straight off your credit card, right?
Yeah.
So can you split a bill with somebody else?
Honestly can't say I've been to an ATM since I got back into the country in February.
just taking money from my mum's purse.
I don't have cash. It's not a thing.
No, I know somebody who doesn't have cash.
I like
and it's very
cash,
frustrating.
A little bit of cash for those people like you that don't carry cash.
I'll get it out if I'm going to a market or something.
If you're buying a coffee, do you put it on your bip bip?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
What about those places that are $10? You know, you got to spend a minimum.
No, I don't go to those places.
You just buy five coffees instead.
I will.
Crazy town.
What is it? I want to know.
Brunswick, you could get 1.5 coffees for $10.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I want to know from the people here present and those listening at home or in their cars, in fact, what is the next thing? What is the most likely next thing that you'll be able to order up on your phone? Don't say hookers. Because that's been happening since the dawn of time.
Outsourcing. Okay. Let me...
What is it? What's a pinnacle? What's peak lazy? I just want to call somebody and get them to... I don't know. I just...
Carry me downstairs.
Wash my bath just came up.
I just said bath. I don't know where you were going with that.
I was thinking toilet paper. But that's already a thing you can get delivered.
Can you get toilet paper delivered?
Yes.
Yeah.
Environmentally friendly.
Deliver poo, it's called. Is that right? No. Oh, I made Rachel laugh. That's my day made.
Signing off.
Joy. You're on Joy 94.9. You are with Daniel Mason. And we're driving you home right up until 6:30. If you're not aware, or if you've just jumped into your grandma's car and they've turned the radio on, and this is Melbourne, Australia's premier gay and lesbian radio station. Don't be surprised or shocked. But we'll keep it nice. We just left off with Deliver Poo.
Yes, which outsourcing is adult tasks.
We were talking, Rachel, of course, the producer, came up with the news that one of the three main players in the delivering of things to your home field has withdrawn from the competition, leaving the two other players there. I mentioned, just in passing...
Putting many cyclists out of business.
Yes, wasn't showing off. I was just mentioning in passing that I've never had any food delivered to my home, which made us think, because I think it's once you've turned that corner, you're just lazy. And as you say, I read an article saying that they're not even, those fancy restaurants, they're not even making the food there.
No, it's somewhere
else. They've hired a big factory in town and they're just churning it out.
Like the sushi out at Tullamarine.
How can we be at once,
shed.
How can we be at once so obsessed with master chefing and my story on a plate and schmears and all that kind of stuff and then be happy with food in a tub?
I suppose it looks all right when you put it on a plate. Tamsin's got a good suggestion, though.
What's Tamsin reckon?
For outsourcing.
Yep.
And I think she's onto something because I hate this job. She wants an app for someone to fill up her car.
Yes.
That is brilliant.
Bring me gas.
Yes.
Gas-a-roo.
Bring me gas.
Got gas? Call it that. Gas me.
I'd like someone to, if I could outsource the going to the bathroom.
Oh,
especially when you're out with a big bunch of friends at the pub or something.
Yeah.
I can't.
Don't break the seal.
Just can't be.
Oh, no, it's between 6 a.m. and 6:07 a.m. Yeah, that's when you want somebody to outsource that.
Yeah.
It's called a bedpan, mate. How come people don't use bedpans anymore?
I don't know.
For number ones, not being silly.
Well, possibly they do.
Anyway, we're giving away a prize. If you do have another suggestion, as I'm sure like Tamsin did, you want to let us know what's
next. Maybe you
could
outsource the collection of bags that replaced your plastic bags that you're so traumatised about. Losing.
It's amazing how quickly, and we'll talk about plastic bags a little bit later, but it's amazing how quickly you can go from too many to absolutely no plastic that can hold anything in your home. That's how much plastic baggery we'll be using.
Joy.
It's Joy 94.9 with Daniel and Mason, and we're joined in the studio right now by Jemima Robinson, welcome Jemima.
Oh, good afternoon.
Who is the...
I am the festival director the Gutsy Girls Adventure Film Tour.
I'd never heard of it until Rachel, our producer, scoured the world for it and found you. So the Gutsy Girls Adventure Film Tour is a collection of films that you've curated, I'm expecting. And
correct.
What qualifies something to be in the Gutsy Girl Film Tour? Adventure.
The protagonist needs to be a woman. So, and she needs to be doing something adventurous. And it's very broad. So, obviously, people are all different. So, what's adventurous for one person is different for another person. But it's just showcasing women doing inspirational, interesting, different things in the outdoors. That can be everything from in the water to on the top of mountains or everything in between, even synchronized swimming.
Or navigating themselves from South Bank to the city.
Correct. That difficult.
And is it documentaries or narratives or a mixture of both? Or
All documentaries. Yeah.
So. Good. Excellent. Now, where do you source the films from? just wherever you can.
There's
get
like
them.
A Tinder for filmmakers and film festivals. Yes. Everything's online.
I'll come up with a name for that. Carry on. Yeah.
I look forward to that. Mm. And so we put the call out to filmmakers all around the globe, and they go on that website and they submit through that. We're also scouring, you know, our favourite filmmakers and hitting them up for films, checking on Instagram what people are doing, asking them if they've got some good films. So it's a bit of a combination.
Do you commission and produce any films yourselves?
No, not for this one.
But you make films yourself, don't you?
I have been involved in making films. We have, but what is exciting, we did do a grant this year for an Australian female adventure filmmaker photographer to make a film. So we've given her $5,000. She's going to go to New Zealand, climb some mountains with an all-female team, and hopefully we'll have that film in for next year.
So the collection's shorts as well?
Yeah, all shorts. So this year it's all under 30 minutes, but it changes. It just depends what the stories are there. So if it's a big, bold story, often it can be longer, but usually nothing more than 45 minutes.
You got a sneaky favourite?
Yeah, of course.
You're a festival director. You meant to say no. They're my babies. I can't play favourites.
Well, you've got to be impartial. You've got to show things that you think are going to appeal. And it's not just about one standalone film. It is about the program. It's supposed to take you on a journey and give you highs and lows. But, you know, some of the people that you naturally have an affinity to. So there is one film. It's short, 4 minutes, and it is a synchronised swimming team from Harlem, average age 72.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, I know. How can you not love them, right? Like, don't hate me for that. And there's another short film about Crystal Wright, and she is an Australian filmmaker and photographer. And because she's primarily a photographer, it's beautiful. Like, there's no words in it. She believes that you should be able to tell the story just in the visuals.
Well, the Gutsy Girls trailer is beautiful.
That is beautiful.
Thank you very much. Yes, yeah, it is. It's just rad women all over the world doing amazing things.
And what's your adventure of pleasure?
Living vicariously through a lot of these people, but I am also a snowboarder, climber. I like to climb mountains. I like to hike. I just like to walk in the mountains too. Nice.
There's a lot of very visually appealing adventure sports, but there must be things that are really adventurous. That there's a lot of ocean racing and sort of stuff that you can't really get. Well, you can now get a camera too, but it's very hard to film some tremendous adventure. So does it seem to attract people in the beautiful adventure sports of hiking and mountain climbing? And
I think it's changed recently because there's a lot of sports you can now capture with drones and GoPros, and they look really
they've
great.
They've just changed everything. That technology in terms of action footage has
it's
just
definitely
changed
a game
so
changer.
Much.
So you can get things like climbing really great now. Mountain biking's still hard, especially if they're in the trees. You still need that big that
and also
rig.
The speed of a drone. Do they keep up with, say, a downhill?
I think if it's open, like we have got a film this year and it's set in a pool and it's open and they managed to capture it, it's really beautiful. But you know those ones where they're in Canada and they're trials riding, you couldn't, like, you'd smash a drone up. So.
And you just get that point of view of the rider and it's sick-making. You know those ones, there's always something on the Facebook of something goody.
Yeah. So like a GoPro helmet cam of a mountain bike, it's never going to be good, or a paddler, so you kind of need to.
Is there any underwater activity?
This year, the only underwater activity other than our synchronised swimmers is in Crystal Wright's film, because she has a lot of underwater as well, and that's really beautiful set in Tahiti above the reef. It's quite fascinating.
What's the next big Everest for women in terms of adventure? I mean, imagine we've got Everest.
Yeah.
Lisa Blair's done the circumnavigation of the world.
Yep.
She was the first woman to do that. And also one of the did she break the world record? Yeah. So she's the fastest human as well as the first woman.
Yeah.
What's next? Is there something
What's next
that's
for
we're
women?
Waiting to...
Look, I think women are kicking goals all over the place. Like, certainly underwater, women are breaking a lot of records in freediving that haven't been done before. Look, guys have climbed all the mountains.
It's a guy thing to do, though, isn't it? Like, it's funny that just as I asked that question, I thought that's such a non-feminist thing to say, because you don't have to be the first or the fastest or the best. It's about getting out and actually doing it and documenting it.
Yeah, I think there's a mix. You know, like, some people are super driven by... I think some people are super driven by getting there and being the highest and the fastest. And I think, you know, for Lisa Bayer, it just so happened she was the first woman to do it. She wanted to do that, and she just so happened to be the first woman to do it. I think that now women are certainly seeing that there's a lot more possibilities. So some things in the past they might have thought, oh, no, you know, that's not a possibility for a woman, or that's not an option. I think it's not necessarily they want to be the first, but now they're thinking, oh, I could do that.
Yeah.
You know, like, that could actually be me. Because the youngest Australian... you know, to climb Everest is also a woman, and she is also the youngest person to climb from both sides as well. She happens to be a woman.
Was she 17 or 19, something like that? Like, very young.
Yeah, young.
It's quite recent.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So she's just done it for the second time. So I think now she might be about, 20 old. Right.
So is that the idea behind the festival is to... What do you want to achieve by putting these films together?
We just want to shine the light on these amazing women doing these things. And I think having been in this world for a long time, women have been out there and they've been doing it, but they haven't necessarily been in front of the camera. It's predominantly been a lot of guys in front of the camera. And so... women have been doing this stuff, but they've been choosing to tell their stories differently. So they've been writing books, and there's lots of history of amazing women adventure books, but they haven't been in front of the camera. And I think that's changing because the people behind the camera are women as well. So filmmakers much naturally tell stories about people that inspire them. So there's more female filmmakers. So they're choosing to tell stories about amazing females. And so it's just the prevalence of these stories that are out there in these amazing films. And we just wanted the opportunity to bring them to people and to showcase them to people.
Wouldn't it be great if that long that women weren't allowed to run in marathons.
Exactly.
It's wild, isn't it? Decades. And now look what we're doing. And you're capturing it all in film and screening it to
Can you think of one retrospective adventure you'd like to see a woman? Like, because I was thinking, imagine if they had been able to document Amelia Earhart's crossing or, you know, all those things.
Incredible.
I guess the rich writing about those things is all in our brains. But this is a new wave of... And you can't really know what it looks like. And I guess for young girls, when they're seeing this, they're like, oh, yeah, I could literally do that.
Absolutely, yeah. That's and I think it is. It's opening those eyes up and that possibility that, this is something that I could possibly do. Like, this person's doing it. It's an option for me. And even if I don't want to do exactly what they're doing, I could do it in my own way, which is really nice.
What's a adventure type sport or adventure that women are really not broken through in? Is there still a male dominated area? Because that sort of high wire slack lining and all that kind of stuff, that seems very duty.
Live radio.
Live radio. Yes, isn't it? I know, that's a tough gig. I'd rather slack line. There's amazing. Slack Larson, follow her on Instagram. She kicked. You can goals
see.
On lots of goals, slacklining. But we actually, this year with the tour, we are partnering with Women in Adventure Sport, which is aiming to get more female skydivers. So apparently not very many female skydivers. And there's this, it's a non-for-profit organisation that is all about encouraging women to try it and get into it, because apparently that is one of the sports that is still predominantly male dominant.
Let them jump out of planes. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to myself. That's in my... jumping and skydiving are in my... Don't even...
But if you ever see a photo of someone who's just jumped out of a plane, they have that look of joy.
Yeah.
You know, like they really dig it.
I feel like that after a good lion, though. Like that's how I'm getting my thrills these days.
Different people.
The festival is called the Gutsy Girls Adventure Film Tour. You can go to gutsygirlsadventurefilmtour.com.au to buy tickets for a very special event, which is happening tonight. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we're at the beautiful Astor Theatre tonight. We kick off at 7:30 and we have a special treat tonight. We have Finnegan August. She's 11 years old and no one plays the guitar like her. She's going to be on stage beforehand at an intermission. We've got 8 films. Come along. It'll be great.
That'll be awesome. I'm looking forward to it. Dano?
See you there, mate.
I'll see you there. Jemima, thanks so much for coming in to speak with us on Joy.
Been a pleasure.
And best of luck with the festival tonight. And I did have one other question that was burning in the back of my head. If somebody wants to get involved in making film,
yes,
who do they contact? Like, if somebody says, oh, that's great, I really want to show somebody my extreme knitting.
Yep. Work on that. but we would love that. That's the one thing. We've got one Australian film, not good enough. We definitely want more, which is why we created that grant. So on the website, you'll see Enter My Film. Get to it, ladies. You've got a whole other year to get your film in for next year. Get filming.
And to qualify, it just has to have a female protagonist. Yep. Does it have to be written, directed and produced by women?
Nope.
No, it's about women doing adventurous things.
Yep.
And absolutely. How you define that is up to you, but
that's right.
You better be wearing Lycra or something.
Sunscreen.
Absolutely be wearing sunscreen. Joy. We don't have Robbie Rockstar, and I find that disappointing because I love our chats with him.
I don't know. You should phone him from wherever he is. He's a bit lazy.
Oh, can you imagine? He's in Belgium. He's going to come back with chocolate for us. Tell it now, mate. You've been away. took a little mini break. I love this about you.
Little sneaky break.
You just woke up one morning, texted me and said, I'm going to Bali tomorrow or
something. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much happened like that.
You had the drama. For those who are listening last week, Dana lost her passport. No, you didn't lose it. It wasn't, you didn't have enough time left on it.
Yes, it hadn't expired. I just didn't have enough time. Mm. So I was a little tense when I got to the airport and there was an issue with it because I hadn't used it before.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was checking in, I had to actually go to a
counter. Seal.
I had to outsource it to a counter lady.
Yeah. So I love this. I love it that you've drawn all this attention to you on Facebook about your passport renewal problems, and then you've got to the airport, and what have you done?
Which end?
Didn't you have the delay? Was that coming back?
It was coming back. So coming back, I rocked up with, you know, a couple of hours spare. Flight was delayed 2 hours and ended up being 3 hours. I had 7 hours at the airport, and Denpasar Airport.
You do understand that nobody here in freezing cold Melbourne feels in any way sorry for you.
No, they don't care.
Dana was written, not even a funny post. It was like, oh, I can't believe it. I've got.
It's like 1 a.m. when I wrote that.
And then you went, and my phone charger is running out my phone. I don't have a phone charger on my thing. And one of your friends, I don't know who it was, but hilariously funny, said, shake it off, Chappelle. Nobody feels sorry for you.
I did feel chastened after that.
Yeah.
But then I, you know, there was.
Went on.
I went on and on.
Yeah. What did you do to. Absorb that time.
I paid to go into a lounge,
and
there was the worst food you can imagine. So I had got my $35 in soft drink. I drank soft drink.
Okay, you drank your pain away.
It was bleeding out of my ears.
Mm. I was once laid over 13 hours in Narita Airport in Tokyo, yeah. And it wasn't the good airport. You know, there's sort of.
No, it was just the tin shed.
Yeah, I was in the bad part, and I thought there's all these things that you can do there, and one of them is to go into I saw this room, and I thought, what's going on there? It was a video viewing room. And I walked up and I said, in my bad English, my very broken English at that point because I've been up for 36 hours, can I come in here and what's going on? There's just a whole lot of people sitting in Jason recliners watching TV screens. It's like a cinema, but you can watch whatever you want on your own thing. So I walked in there and the woman's like, are you sure you want to go in there? I was like, yeah, I'd love to. And I looked through and I didn't recognise any of the titles because they're all in Japanese. And I noticed that the movie was there. So I said, I'll book this. And they take it away to another room, put the video in. I'm sitting there watching it. And then she came and gave me a blanket, which cost an extra $2. I was like, that's weird. Okay, it's not even cold. And then I looked around and went, oh, I know everybody's got a blanket.
Movie with happy endings.
I was the only lady in the room. And I thought, I'm in totally... in a masturbatory chamber.
You didn't even need
when in Rome.
Really.
You're on Joy.
How was the house?
The what?
The house.
You're on Joy 94.9. You're with Dana and Mason.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.